This is Fresh Air. I'm TV critic David Bean Cooley. The 2011 fall TV season has gotten off to a disappointing start, but that's all about to change. Beginning this Sunday, with a new documentary series, the premiere of a new drama series, and the season premiere of another drama series. All three are excellent, invigorating, and exceptionally intelligent. The documentary is the latest PBS multi-part presentation by Ken Burns, a three-night examination of Prohibition, which also is the program's title. Burns and his filmmaking partner, Lynn Novick, aren't just riding the Boardwalk Empire train here. Their story begins a full 100 years before Prohibition began in the 1920s. In fact, they spend the entire first installment explaining how alcohol became a wedge issue and how religious conservatives, women suffragists, and other groups all used it to gain political power. This background is fascinating, not dry, and it touches on many subjects Burns has explored before. Prohibition opens with a quote by Mark Twain, spends the bulk of its time during the Jazz Age, and, in a segment on the anti-alcohol movement of the 1840s, even finds a link to slavery. And in the same segment, narrator Peter Coyote also finds time to reveal the origin of the term teetotaler.
The same reformers who were leading the crusade to abolish slavery saw drinking and the damage it did to individuals, families, and communities as no less sinful, no less corrupting. They called their movement temperance. At first, advocates preached mere moderation. Only ardent spirits like rum and whiskey were off limits. But soon, many began demanding total abstinence from all forms of alcohol, insisting on capital T-total abstinence.
Prohibition is another impressive entry in the Ken Burns canon. And yes, it's another history lesson with almost creepy parallels to today's headlines. These include illegal phone taps, political gamesmanship, and government programs branded as socialism. The three segments of Prohibition are shown Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday nights on PBS, with the opening night bumping right up against Boardwalk Empire on HBO. That's unfortunate. And even more unfortunate is that night one, on Sunday, also bumps up against the sixth-season return of Dexter on Showtime. That series stars Michael C. Hall as a blood spatter expert for the Miami Police Department, who's also a serial killer who tracks and kills other serial killers. It's one of my favorite shows on TV. It's also one that seems to get fans who are not caught up angry whenever I talk about it, even though I'm discussing plot points that happened more than a season before. So this time, I'll stay out of trouble. This time, I'll say only that season 6 begins very strongly and is highly recommended. But even though I won't reveal anything about the shows I've previewed, I will predict the long-time future of this show, just to get it on the record. I believe Dexter ultimately will end the same way I believe AMC's Breaking Bad will end, with the protagonist ultimately uncovered and confronted by a loving relative. In Breaking Bad, I predict it'll be Walter White's DEA brother-in-law, Hank, who closes in on him. In Dexter, it'll be Dexter's own sister, Deborah, who's a cop in the same Miami Police Department. Both of those characters have strong investigative instincts and even stronger stubborn streaks. So both shows, I'm guessing, are on the same narrative path. One new show premiering Sunday following Dexter on Showtime has a narrative path all its own, one I've never seen before in a weekly TV series, and that's saying something. It's called Homeland and stars Claire Danes as Carrie Matheson, a CIA agent who becomes obsessed with Sergeant Nick Brody, an American POW located and rescued after years of brutal captivity in Iraq. Nick, played by Damian Lewis from Band of Brothers and NBC's Life, is about to return home to a hero's welcome. But Carrie, acting on a scrap of vague information, suspects Nick may have been turned while held prisoner and is now a double agent for Al-Qaeda. Carrie takes her suspicions to one of her bosses, played by Mandy Patinkin in a welcome return to TV, but he's not buying it.
You're suggesting that Abenazir planted intelligence on his own safe house? Just so we could recover Sergeant Brody.
I realize it sounds like a reach.
To say the least. Why not just drop him near a checkpoint, make it look like he escaped? Why would you sacrifice 13 trained fighters?
Because Abenazir is playing the long game, and this way no one suspects a thing.
Except you.
Yeah, except me. Yeah. And Sergeant Brody's due home from Germany tomorrow morning, which gives us just under 22 hours.
To do what?
To authorize a surveillance package, to tap his phones, wire his house, follow him wherever he goes.
David will never sign off on that, you know it.
Well, of course he won't. The White House needs a poster boy for the war, and David just served him up on a platter. That's why I'm coming to you.
I'm not going over his head, not on a hunch.
But if I'm right, if he is a terrorist, we need eyes and ears on Brody from the minute he steps off that plane.
Never happened.
If Carrie is right, she's the real hero of this story. If not, Nick's not only the victim, he's the hero, too. For the first few episodes of Homeland, our loyalties are split, and we don't know which character to root for. Only that they're both played by incredibly likable and sympathetic performers. And watching Carrie pursue Brody without being certain of his true motives puts a fascinating new twist on an otherwise familiar tale. Eventually, we will discover the truth, and the series and the drama will continue from there. But for right now, Homeland is offering something unique to television. And when you're talking about television, that's a phrase you don't hear very often. Just in time, thanks to Homeland and Dexter and Prohibition, the 2011 TV season is looking up and looking good. You can join us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at NPR Fresh Air. And you can download podcasts of our show at freshair.npr.org. Fresh Air's executive producer is Danny Miller. Our engineer is Audrey Bentham. Dorothy Farabee is our administrative assistant. Melody Kramer is our associate producer of online media. Roberta Sharrock directs the show. For Terry Gross, I'm David Biancooley.